The world we live in can be a strange place, and usually even stranger through the eyes of a magician. Join Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman for their laid-back, no-holds-barred chat about the news, life, movies, in fact, who knows what they will talk about. Grab a drink, buckle up, and get ready for Wizards Whiskey and Waffle.
Right, guys, it's Tuesday again, and we're back with another Wizards Whiskey and Waffle. I never remember what order that goes in. Hiya, Mark.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just shuffling some cards here.
Beautiful.
Hang on. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, there that's it.
They're great.
That was a good shuffle.
That was. That felt good. So Wizards Whiskey and Waffle is the order it is in, because it's the Wizards first.
Yeah.
Then they have a bit of whiskey.
Yeah.
And then they waffle. That's the idea. Wizards Whiskey and Waffle. But however, today's episode is whiskey and a sort of strong English breakfast tea and waffle.
I've got a strong tea. So we are, usually when we were recording these, I think we said this last week, we were doing them in the evenings. We're doing them at like 10 o'clock at night. But at the moment, we're doing them in the mornings.
Exactly. We're playing catch up.
Yeah.
But I do think, I think it's going to be one of those things whereby, obviously, we can't keep on changing the title. So we've got to keep it as what it is. But I just think it means we've got to start drinking in the morning.
Remember, after this lockdown is all over, you're going to come down here, or I'm going to come down to you. We're going to film some when we're together, and I'm going to bring that bottle of whiskey we were sent in as well.
Yes, exactly.
So we're going to have couple of things. I spoke to a friend of ours, Spiros, who's going to be joining us in a future podcast. And Spiros was the man behind the alien autopsy. This was a thing that went crazy in the 80s. It was in all the newspapers. They made a whole program about it. And it was a huge hoax. And he's going to tell you exactly how he did it, how he got away with it, how they got Kodak to verify the film was the correct batch from the correct time and everything else. I mean, I've seen his presentation on it and I was glued to it. It is just so interesting. So he's going to be joining us on that in a future episode. Today we're going to speak about a couple of loose conspiracy theories that we've been looking into, not go into too much detail on them. But before we get started on anything, I want to say a big thank you to everyone that listens to the podcast. We get messages on our Facebook. I get texts from people I know. And people are just enjoying it, just enjoying the chat. And if you know anyone that you think might enjoy it, point them in this direction. I reckon we must be up to nearly 10 listeners now, which is amazing. Time to open a bottle of champagne.
Come on, let's do it. Are we nearly hitting 10 listeners?
I think so. I
can't believe it.
Yeah.
Because our goal was, we said from day one, if like either of our wives would just listen to an episode, that would be good.
Yeah, just listen to us in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, just listen to me. the fact that we've got 10 people that really must be super bored. I mean, when you've got Netflix and Disney Plus and all these Amazon Primes and all these things you could be doing to listen to two waffling, tea drinking, guys.
We're not even called drinking whiskey anymore. We're on tea.
Well, you're on the tea. Yeah. I might be having an 11 o'clock whiskey. Who knows? But I can't disclose such information.
Do you know what? Even though we're in lockdown, last week I was out a hell of a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. So, first out, I'm going to quickly run this down to you, my week last week. So, Thursday, me and Jenny and Harry went to visit one of my sisters. My other two sisters were there, and we had a lovely get together in her garden, all socially distanced. Felt really weird because we are, like I've said before, we're an Italian family, so we're very much into hugging, and you know, when you meet each other and you say goodbye and everything, and it was really weird not doing that. It felt really odd. But we spent a lovely day with them. Friday, it was a friend of mine's birthday, a friend called Kay, and we all went to the local field and had a sort of socially distanced picnic together, seeing some friends I haven't seen in a while, so that was really nice. Saturday, me and Jenny went out for a meal, which was brilliant, great to get out. We turned up an hour early because we were planning to take a walk along the beach, but it was pouring with rain. We rung them up, said, can we get in a bit early? They said no, so we sat in the car for an hour in the rain, which was a bit weird. But then afterwards went in there and they handled it really well. And this was, I'm going to say who it was, because if anyone's around it, the food was great, the staff were great, and they handled the social distancing really well. It was a place called the Coast Guard in St. Mary's Bay. And then yesterday, because Harry was away for the weekend, yesterday me and Jen went to Rye, which was lovely. Done a bit of shopping in our masks. First time I've wore a mask, because it's the first time I've really been out anywhere. And then we had a meal in a restaurant called Layla's, which once again was absolutely fantastic. Staff were brilliant. Social distancing was good. Really, really nice experience.
Can I just say, you just told an absolute lie.
What?
Then. And that's the thing we've always said about this podcast, is that we've got to be honest, right?
Yeah, go.
Oh, that's the first time I've worn a mask. I've seen some pictures of you and Jenny
on a
certain website in a certain nightclub.
Yeah, gimp masks don't come into it. I wear those all the time.
Have you
worn a mask yet?
Yeah, I was ex on Britain's Got Talent. I don't know if you know that, but yeah, wore a mask extensively.
Have you worn one? See, I wear glasses, you see. So as soon as I put the mask on, my glasses steam up, which ain't great.
No, but here's a tip. Here's a tip for anybody. Right, obviously, this is a mask-wearing sort of situation that we're in at the moment. So here's a tip for everybody. Now, I learned... Right, okay, two things. When I did the audition as X, right, in Manchester...
Yeah.
I hand make those masks, right? So those masks are handmade. There are only three in existence, right? I made, originally there were only two. There was the one that I always wore all the way through, and then there was a backup one in case anything went wrong with it. After, when I went to America to do America's Got Talent, I made a third mask. So I thought, right, I won't wear the one that I've always worn. I'll wear one of the other two, my backup. On the day of doing the routine with Shin Lim, so I had to, obviously Shin Lim had to wear one.
Yeah.
I just had this, I'm not superstitious at all, but I just sort of went, I really feel like I need to wear the original mask. I can't wear this backup version. So every performance you've seen of X is wearing the same mask from day one. Reason why I mention this is on the first audition, imagine I've worn this mask at home. I've practiced the routine, you know, a number of times, like, you know, 100 times, whatever, you know, and it's not the same as walking out on stage at the Lowry in Manchester. I walk out there, the adrenaline's going, it's hot, there's filming, there's light, everything. I had to breathe in a really particular way because I kept on steaming up because the eyes are blacked out. It's actually sort of like sunglasses almost kind of material that hides my eyes. And they kept on steaming up. After that first performance, I did a bit of a Google thing. Anyone know how to stop sunglasses steaming up? And I got this inbox message to my Facebook saying, oh, you know, for people that are very young, this is someone who was impersonating Mickey Mouse. Obviously Mickey Mouse is real, we know that, but he was pretending to be Mickey Mouse at Euro Disney,
right?
And they have exactly the same thing, but what you do, he said, is get some fairy liquid and just put a little dob on your finger, rub it on the inside of your glasses or sunglasses, or in his case, the Mickey Mouse mask, because that's how they hide everything, you know. Let it dry, leave it to dry, then get a sort of a little sort of microfiber cloth or a bit of tissue, whatever. I've done it with everything now. And then you just sort of almost buff it off. You don't wash it off with warm water, but you wipe it all off.
Right.
So it's clear. Now, if you breathe on it, it disappears instantly. It's like, it honestly, and I tried it. Obviously, after BGT, I went to America and did America's Got Talent. I went to China twice to perform out there. And everywhere I was performing, I had this little, I had a little whiskey flask. And instead of having whiskey in it, sorry, this leads me on to a really good story. I'm in China with Colin. Anyone that listens to these podcasts and knows about X and his journey will remember Colin Klaus, my very good friend, was with me and is with me every time I perform as X. Colin's with me. And so I had this little hip flask with just fairy liquid in it. I thought, well, I couldn't find anything to put the fairy liquid. I didn't want to take a whole bottle of fairy liquid. I didn't need a lot. So I put it in a little mini hip flask. And then I could, just before the performance, I could just put a little bit on my finger, rub it on the eyes of X's mask, let it dry, wipe it off, and then no steam, no, you know, sort of like misting up of the lenses at all.
Yeah.
And I can get on with the performance. But then Colin's in my hotel room, sees his hip flask. Colin's a bit of a whiskey guy too. And I'm in the toilet just getting ready, and all I can hear is, what's that? And I went, what are you doing? And he went, what is this? And I went, that's fairy liquid, Colin. For the inside of X's eyes, all right? True story, in China. It's brilliant. Oh, I loved brilliant. It.
You got to love Colin.
But you know what, though? In fairness, what else would you just sort of think? Mark likes a bit of whiskey. There's a hip flask in his case. Wonder what he's carrying. Let's have a little bit. But I would have sniffed it. I just think I'm precautious. So I would have sniffed it first. But I just think Colin went in for it. So that's what you can do with your glasses. So anybody that is wearing, obviously, a face mask, and you do wear glasses, just try that. A little bit of good fairy liquid, and when I say good fairy liquid, is like, you know, a good fairy liquid, the brand. Get a little bottle of that, a little bit on your fingers, put it on your glasses, let it dry. That's the most important thing, and then buff it off with a little tea towel or a bit of tissue. And then, and it's funny because I tested it. I did it on one lens and not on the other. And then I would go, you know, sort of breathing on each lens. And the one with the fairy liquid, it literally, almost as you've done it, it goes.
You're not sponsored by fairy liquid, are you?
I am looking for sponsorships of any, you know, X, you
any,
know, like
any household cleaning product.
Exactly. Well, no, the fairy in particular. Because not only is it kind to your skin, it demystifies your X mask as well. So,
yeah.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. So, I want to do, someone suggested that obviously now you've got to wear a mask into all shops.
Mm.
Someone on, I think it was Instagram, messaged me and said, or commented underneath my photograph, surely you've got to wear your X mask into a supermarket. So and X's mask, the nostrils and the mouth are actually covered with cloth on the inside. It's black. So technically it would be as good as wearing a mask, you know, like a face covering for this whole situation. So I definitely want to get a photo shoot of X just doing his daily shop in Sainsbury's with a mask on. And just because now he won't be frowned upon.
No, go, wow,
he's really gone all out with that mask. He's even covered his eyes. So, you know, anyway.
But it was.
So there we go.
Yeah, but it was really good. And we were treated really well. Because obviously, when you go into a restaurant, you don't have to wear a mask because otherwise you couldn't eat.
I was in a restaurant last night. There was social distancing. It's the first time I've been in a restaurant since March, actually probably since February. How did you find it? I found it cool. The guy that came up with, he had the big visor on, and it just makes me laugh because I just feel like he's going to go and do some welding. Do you want to, how do you like to say, well done or welded? I'll have it welded, mate. So he's got those visors on. But no, it was lovely. I mean, it was really nice. Social distancing, they sort of had, there were certain tables that you couldn't sit at. They obviously strategically positioned you in certain places. One of the things that Tessa noticed, and obviously Tessa's clinic is now open and running, and the health and safety on Tessa's clinic is unbelievable, to the point where when Tessa does anything, she doesn't do it by halves.
Honestly,
it is off the chain. She has got a lady that works for the NHS. She's an NHS nurse, so she works in hospitals. And she came for her first treatment to Tessa Stevens in a long time. Obviously, Tessa was shut. And when she walked, she said to Tessa, she goes, I cannot believe your health and safety is just, she goes, it's more than we do at the hospital. It's like, I've seen your staff go round in the time that I've been here three times wiping handles with antibacterial wipes, spraying down surfaces. She goes, that's more than happens at the hospital. So that's the level that Tessa's at. So Tessa's really observant of these procedures, you know, like the care and, you know, what you've got to take into consideration.
Yeah.
And so the restaurant was lovely, but she said they should have gone round. Just people, you know, if you imagine a push plate on a door, you know, you walking in and you push the plate on the door, you know, it's like you've been outside, and it's really weird. You know, it was just, I remember watching one of these adverts, and it was before the whole coronavirus. And I just remember them talking about, it was an antibacterial spray. And I think they had someone kind of handling a piece of chicken in a kitchen or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went around and turned the tap on and done sort of certain things. And then you just saw this handprints all over the kitchen of what they'd touched. And it is that. That's what you've got to visualize, like literally just, you know, and I know, you know, like we are in, you know, things do seem to be normalizing, but we are talking at a time where Spain has now just gone into, you know, you've got, I think you've got 100,000 Brits have gone over to Spain for their holidays because we're allowed to now.
Yeah.
And they've just announced that because the coronavirus cases are going up in Spain, if you come back, you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was watching something on the news today, and it was that they were interviewing some people that have been to Spain. Now, I was always under the impression that you had to quarantine. If you've been away, you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks.
No, there were some countries that were now taken off that list. Because if you think about it, if their coronavirus cases are less than ours, considerably less than ours, then you know, if they've got minute amount of cases, why would you have to quarantine when you come back?
Yeah.
But I was talking last night with Big Sean, who I was in the restaurant with last night.
How is Sean?
Sean's good. He's for those who don't know, Sean works in the film industry. So Sean is he's about 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
A big Irish guy. Whenever you're with Sean, you just feel like he's your personal bodyguard.
Do you know what? The first time I met him was on your stag do, and we become really good mates sort of after that. I think he took to me because he just thought I was a little old man he had to look after.
No, Sean's lovely. Sean's a lovely guy.
He is.
And so we were at, and then Sean was saying that, you know, this whole sort of, you know, like he's working in the film industry. So as an example, I don't know, have you got your name drop thing there? It's not me name dropping. I'm going to name drop a couple of names for Sean.
I've got my finger at the ready.
Right. So Sean looks after Mark Wahlberg. So whenever Mark Wahlberg is filming in the UK or overseas, Sean drives him around. He waits for him at the studios. He goes to... Mark Wahlberg trains really early. Thank you. In the mornings, he's proper fitness guy.
I didn't know Sean was doing this now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sean does... I mean, in some of the people that he's...
I've seen him putting pictures up of him and Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him putting pictures up, but I didn't realise... I just thought he knew him or, you know, something to do with the training or something like that.
They really get on, and apparently Mark's like a really super nice guy. And
well, everyone gets on with Sean as well. Sean is just the type of person you want to be around, and he's just so funny and nice.
Sean's a real gentleman. He is a... He's tall as anything, but he's lovely. He's a really, really good guy. So, how did I get onto this? What were we talking about?
Restaurant.
So I was with Sean, he's sort of slowly, the film industry is getting back to work, but Sean has got like a lovely sort of like people, Mercedes kind of people carrier, transporter. So, when Mark's over and he's got his team of people, you know, sort of like Mark will be in the back. But the great thing about it is Sean is literally 2 meters away from people anyway. So, I don't know how we got onto that. But anyway,
you were talking about Sean in the restaurant last night, I think.
Yeah, did I? I don't know where that came from. Anyway, so yeah, but it was a lovely experience in the restaurant. Really, really good. But Tessa's just on point. She just understands it. Tessa goes all in.
Yeah.
She really does. And, you know, obviously, some people might say, that's what we're talking about as well, like saying about coronavirus, people sort of coming back and having to do this test. That's it. There we go.
Having to stay indoors for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So Sean, working in the film industry, there was a producer that he was driving around a couple of days ago. And Sean said, you know, like, I'll grab a test, you know, and you can have a test. You can, you know, if you're working in certain industries, you can have a test.
Right.
So Sean had a test, and I think it's 24 hours thereabouts, maybe a little bit longer than that. He had the results, and he's coronavirus free. So my point is, all these people that have gone over to Spain on holiday, it's a real tricky one, because imagine you go, right, they've given us the all clear. Spain is all good. You know, you can go and come straight back. Their coronavirus cases are really low. But in the time you've gone over there, and this is what's happened, the levels have gone up.
Yeah.
So now the UK government say you've got to self-isolate for 2 weeks when you get back. Can you imagine if you've got work?
Yeah.
You know, you've got clients, you've got this and that. You're going, hang on a minute, but you never said that before we went. And that's the thing that I think is really tricky. But what Sean was saying, and this is how we got on Sean, is that he said, you know, if I can get a test that quickly, and the tests are available now to tell you whether or not you've got coronavirus in this moment, they still haven't got the test to work out whether or not you've had it over the last sort of 4 months or whatever. But they have got that test. Surely now they need to be putting in some sort of a plan of action, because these poor people that have gone over to Spain thinking it's all safe,
yeah,
are now going to come back to, we're locked up for 2 weeks. Like, literally can't even go to the shop. You know, we are in isolation for 2 weeks.
I honestly think the thing is, the way we are at the moment, things are changing daily. So why take the risk? I am with you,
but I do appreciate the fact that, you know, listen, there are some people that have worked all the way through the coronavirus, you know, this whole pandemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there is that sort of sense of needing to get back to normal, you know, kind of getting back to normal. Can we get back to normal? But for people's mental welfare as well. But I am like you. I was speaking to Sean and I was saying there are three camps. There are the people that are, you know, really still quite paranoid and worried about the whole situation and still won't venture out, still will minimal, you know, kind of going out the door. Then you've got the people in the middle that are a bit kind of, they're a bit of both. You know, they do want to get back to normal, but they want to do it at a leisurely, a careful, precautious pace. And then you've got this third camp, and that is like, come on, isn't this just a bit blown out of proportion? Let's just crack on with it. And I have to say, I am in the middle, leaning a bit more towards the more precautious side. So yeah. That's why I went to a restaurant last night, but we were very in our own area. It was, you know, there was, I would say there must have been about 20 people in this restaurant.
Yeah, and, yeah, they are doing it really well, the restaurants.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I think there is, everyone's got a different mindset. And it's understandable. I think at the end of the day, we are dealing with a situation that, you know, and I said it in the last episode, we've had SARS and is it MERS or MERS or, you know, we've had those other ones, but they've never really come into a worldwide sort of scenario. You know, they've been bad, but you kind of hear about it on the news. But this is the first time this sort of generation within this time have ever heard of the word, you know, like sort of lockdown. And
It's just the first time we ever had to do anything like this. But the fact is we are in a situation that we haven't had before. No one really knows what's going to happen. If anything, all the countries seem to be getting worse rather than better. They seem to get better and now the numbers are going up. But the way I see it, I mean, we've just booked 4 days away, but it's away in the UK, you know? And you've got to make this judgment yourself as well. And I know there is and you're absolutely right. There are people that have worked all the way through it that just want a break. But I think if you take that break, then you have to take the risk that goes with it, which is things may change, you know?
Yeah.
And I know it's sort of, it's different if you get told you don't have to isolate when you go out, and when you're out there, you know, you do have to isolate. And it, you know, it is a pain, but it's like me offering you a drink and saying, yeah, that's really healthy, drink it. And then reading something on the internet while you're drinking it and going, oh, stop, hang on. I've just read something here. The fact is, that's the information that's coming through now. And we've got to take, you know, if you're prepared to go away, I think you've got to appreciate that things may change because we don't know.
No, I agree. And I think as well, I think, the way that I'm, even like with Isabella going back to nursery, you know, like she could have gone back to nursery at the beginning of June, you know, like she could, that's when they all opened up. And, you know, they're saying it's safe to go back. I mean, you know, you've got some of the weirdest things. So in a restaurant, and this is where, and this is part of the problem, I think, for the general public. And that is, if you've got a government that say, right, listen, A, B, C, D, that's it, right? This is it, right? As a country, we can then go, right, oh, God, right, okay, that's what we've got to do.
Yeah.
If a government turns around and goes, right, A, B, C, D, unless, you know, you can't, B, not so sure, so then just make sure C, D, right? Yeah. But don't D unless you've A. What are you talking about? And that is exactly what's happened. So from my point of view, when, like, me and Tessa and I, we were talking about Isabella going back to nursery because we've homeschooled her. She's had a whale of a time, but I want her to be with her mates.
Yeah.
I want her to, you know, I don't want her to, you know, I want her to play and be a child. And if there's a safe way of doing that, but back in June, 1st of June, me and Tessa, we got in contact with Isabella's, we've got a little WhatsApp group, and just sort of said, guys, how are you feeling about this going back to nursery thing? And everyone was on the same page. Not sure. We're going to hold out for a couple of weeks, see what happens, maybe hold out for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we did. We all held out for over a month and a half, I think it was, before. And even now, it's only sort of half days, 2 days a week, and we're trying to minimalize it and just keep an eye on it. And you want to monitor it.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think you're absolutely on the money. If our own government is so, like, random and like, one minute it's... Like, you know, you can go to a restaurant like we did, like you and I, and not wear a mask.
Yeah.
If you're going to go and pick up takeaway, you've got to wear a mask. So you sort of say, and then I get that maybe that's the proximity thing, you're all queuing up for your takeaway, wear a mask. It's just so weird.
Yeah,
wear a mask, don't, you know.
Yeah, it should, realistically, it should be one or t'other, shouldn't it? I mean, they were saying the other day, if you went into Starbucks and sat down and got table service, you don't have to wear a mask. If you go up to the counter, you do, and you can't then take your mask off in the shop.
It's exactly.
All a bit weird. It's all a bit weird. But, you know.
Listen, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And like you, I agree. I think that, you know, everything we're doing now is kind of like, you know, it could change in 2 days' time. And it has done over everything that's happened. Wearing a mask won't benefit you. No, actually, no, because you'll put a mask on.
Yeah.
You do what I mean? Like, social distancing must be 2 meters. But if you can't do 2 meters, maybe do a meter. Can you just try? So it's all been sort of choppy changey. And I think you're right. I think anyone that goes away, like now, if me and Tessa decide, we're not going to, but if we decided, we're going to go, we love Palmer. We go to Palmer a lot of times. So we're going to go over to Palmer. You know, we'll have a week in Palmer. We have to understand that if it all twists and turns in that 7 days, which it can do, that's it. It's just the way it goes. But I do think, on the whole, the government have had four months to kind of get this some form of testing. And you know, it's the thing that makes me laugh is when they want to do something like the congestion charge, right? It just happens.
Yeah.
Right, it's happening. Right, that's it. Everyone pay more money.
Yeah.
But this, you kind of think, well, just get on with it. Just sort it out. You know, like, just sort it out. Just get the testing done. Because people could come off planes, and we need to have people working. But those people now, effectively, coming back from Spain might go, you might have a whole load of nurses, who knows, that can't go back to work for a couple of weeks. But if you just give them the test, and you say, oh, no, you're all right, actually. You know, you're okay. You can go straight back to work, actually. Yeah, we've done your test. And the most that they'll have to quarantine for would have to be 24 hours or 48 hours while they get the results.
Yeah.
But you know, anyway. So, Peter Nardi, talk to me. Yes. Conspiracy theories, young man.
Right, well.
What's going on? This whole, I watched the video.
What one?
About Kevin Spacey.
Oh, just to say, we've started watching House of Cards. That's bloody good.
Well, apparently, the thing is you know, listen, Kevin Spacey isn't a very good actor.
Yeah.
But just obviously not a particularly, his ethics are a little bit out the window.
Mm.
And that may be saying it lightly. I don't know the full case. I don't know the whole history of the case and everything else, but yeah. But so I looked up the video. I looked up the video and I heard about it and stuff like that. And I thought, wow, yeah, that is strange. But yeah, go on, talk to me. What's your thought?
Well, do you know what? It's very weird because I know me and you speak about conspiracy theories all the time because I'm one of these people that I will flat out go, that's a load of rubbish. And then someone says, watch a video. And I go, yeah, no, it's a load of rubbish. And I watch a video and I go, actually, I'm very easily swayed. Now, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist as such, but I do get sort of wondering. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite gullible, even though I don't go out and spout out conspiracy theories, and I do usually see sense, and my mind does sort of take over at some point and go, Peter, it's a load of old crap. But for that split second, I do sit there and go, maybe it was an alien.
Do you know what I love about you?
What's
right?
that?
Genuinely, I don't even care if this is a podcast. I'm talking to you as a friend. What I really love about you is you're so not self-deprecating, but you are, you're very aware of yourself. I really like that.
I'm on it. Do you know what? If there's something I do that's really stupid, I've got no problem telling anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Real quick, example. I remember me and Tessa are big foodies, so we have been lucky enough to go to some really lovely restaurants like Gordon Ramsay's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember this conversation with you years ago where me and Tessa were in New York, and we went to Gordon Ramsay to London, right, which is in New York.
Me and Tessa
will sit there, and we'll eat all of these crazy sort of like, you know, like snails with, actually it's not that crazy, but you know, snails with this, that, and the other, or whatever. And me and Tessa get right into it, and we kind of go, oh, lovely, delicious, what? Whereas, I know that you are a little bit much, you're more simplistic with your palate. Yeah. And I remember having this conversation with you where you went, I went in there, Mark, and I just read the menu and I was, I can't eat. That's just, what? Can I just have a steak and fries or ham and egg?
Do you know what I had when I went in there?
Go on.
Because, you know, for anyone that hasn't been in there, what it is, it's like, I don't know what they call it. It's not tapas, but you have... like small, it's a taster, isn't it? So you're supposed to have five dishes or four dishes.
Yeah.
And they're small dishes, right? So we went in there, me, Jenny, my nephew and my niece, and I booked it for us all. It had just opened, booked it as a bit of a surprise. I will say the service was excellent. The wine was amazing. And the food, what I ate, was really good. But this is my experience of it, right? So I don't mind, bearing in mind, I come from a family where my mum would cook sort of, as far as I'm concerned, quite weird stuff sometimes. But to you, it wouldn't be weird. But for me, walking in and seeing a pot boiling with an octopus's tentacle sticking out of it, it is sort of, is quite weird, right? So I'm one of these people, and I've been out with you. We were in Chinatown. We went into a restaurant, and I was looking down the menu. We both ordered something, and I was really excited. It come up, and the chicken was still on the bone, and I said to you, I can't eat it. I can't.
In fairness, I agree with you. I remember that. Now, my dad, growing up, I remember being about seven, and my dad had an ox's tongue, you know, in like from the butchers.
Yeah.
And I remember going, what's that? And he went, it's a tongue. And then he said, do you want to try it? And he sliced a bit of this tongue off, put it in a piece of bread. I remember eating it, going, God, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Right? But that was my upbringing. So now I eat anything. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, see, the thing is, if you didn't tell me what it was, I'm fine. I mean, I love oxtail soup. But when my mum used to make it for my brother-in-law, she used to put it down. It was a plate of soup with a towel sticking out of it. Now, I couldn't eat that. I couldn't eat it, but I love oxtail soup. But the thing is, and it was the same, like, we've gone into this Gordon Ramsay restaurant, right? So we're looking at the menu, and they haven't called it, like, you know, beef, succulent beef medallions. They've called it tongue and cheek, right? And I've gone, oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat, I don't know what cheek it is. It's a tongue. I can't eat it, right? So I ended up having five plates of lamb chops. That was it. I ordered the same dish five times.
Can I just say that is not a bad option, though?
No, they were lovely.
Five plates of lamb chops.
But did you have the lamb chops? Because they were about as big as my little finger.
Oh, right. So
yeah,
they will be.
But the other thing was, like, my niece ordered a pudding, right? Or Jenny did, one of them did. And it was, I think it was rice pudding, right? So you see the waiter coming over, and he's got this big bowl. I mean, it was huge. It was like a pasta bowl, right?
Right.
So you see him bring it over, and you think, wow, flipping hell. He puts it down. Now, the bowl itself, when he puts it down, the bowl is sort of solid until you get to the middle, which is egg cup sized, right? Oh, so the bowl is 12 inches, but the size of the rice pudding, Jenny got it all on one spoon, right?
And that was it.
And that was it, right? And then afterwards, when they come up and gave us the bill, they put down this bowl of looked like Maltesers or something, right? So my niece picked one out, popped it in her mouth, and her face just changed, right? Just instantly changed. And they were, I never even thought these things were real. They were chocolate salty balls. They were literally balls of salt covered in a layer of chocolate.
Really?
Yeah, 100% honest. Right, and her face.
Are you supposed to eat them?
Yeah. Yeah, right. But her face, she just looked at me, and you know when you've got something in your mouth, and she couldn't close her mouth, she went, it's really short. And it was like, oh, my God. But it's like, just if you put chocolate down, just make it be chocolate. That's all I ask.
Stop tricking us with your weird magic.
That's all I want.
Oh, bless you. So, you know, obviously, me and Tessa went to a place called The Fat Duck.
Yeah.
Which is by Heston Blumenthal.
Yeah, I don't get that. But carry
no,
on.
But no, let me tell you why, right? Okay, right. I think Heston Blumenthal is an artist with food. And what I mean is, I'll give you an example, right? I truly believe, right, if you like, you go, right, I love chicken-flavoured super noodles. But what I love to do, no, but I'm just saying as an example, right?
Right.
So if you said to me, right, Mark, I love chicken-flavoured super noodles,
mm-hmm.
and what I like to do is I like to put a little bit of caviar on top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to put, for a bit of an added crunch, I like to put some sugar puffs, right? So now, I know that sounds weird, mm-hmm. right? But I believe if you eat that and you go, oh, God, I love it, just love it, then I think that is right for you, right?
Mm.
Because you love it. It tastes delicious. And I don't think there should be any rules on food. I don't think there should be any rules on art. I think, you know, it should just be, you should, whatever works for someone. So as an example,
on to a whole new thing about art in general.
I know,
because I don't get either. But carry on.
No, don't get me wrong. There is some, yeah, no, oh my God, that's a whole, that's a different episode. Write that down for another episode.
I just think I'm really sort of...
No, you're not, because I'm an artist. I come from a background of illustration, art and design, painting, graffiti, everything, murals, you name it, I've done it all. And I know what you're saying, and I am not going to disagree with you about some things. I just go, that's ridiculous. I went to the Tate Modern on a school trip, and there was this roped-off section with pink splatter on the floor. And I remember the art teacher, who was really into it, and me being the precocious, you know, sort of 15-year-old student, going, oh, that's good, isn't it, sir? Health and safety, someone spilt a milkshake, right? And genuinely, that's what I said. And his look of disdain. And I remember thinking to myself, no, do you know what? That's rubbish.
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
When we went there, they had a pile of clothes, and I can't remember the title. It was like this week's ironing or something. I mean, shit. At the end of the day, mate... Jenny could be an artist if we took pictures of these sort of things. And
this is what I think art is for me. This is my one rule about art. I think art requires skill.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
right. I think art requires skill. So if you do a painting, whether it's watercolors, spray painting on the side of a train, or whatever it is you're doing. If you sculpt or you make models, you mold things, whatever it is you do, you weld, you solder, you carve, whatever you do, as long as there is an element of skill in it, then I say then that can be art.
Yeah. However, and even imagination. I mean, we were speaking before the podcast here. You were just giving me a little tour of your studio, a virtual tour. Now, you collect loads of these figures, and I collect collectible stuff. Like, I've got a golden gun from James Bond and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Now, to me, that's art. I can sit there, I can look at it for ages, and it brings me pleasure. I can look at one of these, like, the statuette things that you've got, and you can look at the work that's gone into it, and you can go, oh, my God, that's amazing.
But that's it. You're saying that the workmanship.
Yeah.
You know, or sorry, so,
the skill,
workmanship. The skill, the talent and the skill. And I think art has to come from a place. So like music is art, you know, because if you got someone that just went up to a piano and just slammed their hands down on it, which would be my piano playing technique. That's not art. That's just noise, you know. And that's, you have to apply that same mentality to whether it's a picture, a sculpture, or whatever. There has to be some skill involved, or otherwise, isn't this, like what you're saying about the ironing, isn't that just throwing, you know, or chucking clothes on the floor? And if they say, no, I carefully position the sock, you go, yeah, but no one else would know that. No one else could see that. Whereas if I look at that sculpture of Jesus Christ on the cross,
yeah,
that's carved out of marble, I can see every detail and go, that took skill.
Yeah,
like,
and
not anyone can do that.
No, I think when we went, they had that unmade bed.
Yeah, is that Tracy
yeah.
Emin?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus yeah. Christ, come round my house and pay me 50 grand. You can see that every day if you want. I'll come round your house and make you one.
Yeah, Harry's got that in his room every
but
day.
What I don't get with the Heston thing, getting back to it, is
okay, go on.
I don't want to sit down and someone say to me, okay, do you like fish? Not really. Okay, do you like chocolate cake? Yes, I do. Well, eat this. It's a chocolate cake, but it's made out of fish. No, I've told you I don't like fish.
No, but it's not. Okay, right. So, Heston, it is like I said to Tessa, I said Heston is almost like a nutty professor, an artist, and he is, it's like a theatre. So you go there, as an example, they said, oh, would you like some hot and cold tea? And I went, hot and cold tea, right, okay, right. So they gave me this glass, right, and it was a Mad Hatter theme, right? So it had, there was one bit where he gave us a gold coin. And you drop this gold coin into this soup, this broth.
Yeah.
And the broth, it tasted delicious. Like the broth itself, you go, oh my God, I could drink a bucket of this stuff. But it's this little cup and you drop this coin in and the coin disappears. And but it was a golden coin. It was amazing. And you go,
I can appreciate that. If it.
Right. But hang on.
Yeah, go on.
But then. There was one bit where they said, would you like hot and cold tea?
Yeah.
Right? So we were like, hot and cold tea, okay. And it was this beautiful, like, blended tea. But you know, you can have iced tea and all that. It was literally like this. So you started to drink this tea and it was warm. Not super hot, but it was warm.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just felt this burst. And then it was just ice cold. And you go, oh my God, that is just the weird, but lovely. It tasted delicious, but you went, that was such a weird sensation. And I think the method, I think they have a gel that encapsulates, so they get almost like ice cold tea and they put it in a gel and they put that in the warm tea and it slowly melts. And you've got like 30 seconds before this thing bursts.
Yeah,
and then you can feel the coldness. But it was amazing. But it was so much fun. It's such a, I wouldn't go to the, if I was a multi-squillionaire, I wouldn't go and eat at the Fat Duck every week. I would go, right, must go down the Fat Duck and have me ice cold hot tea. You know, but for an eating experience, you know, it's like music, right? You can put on a CD or, I'm sounding my age, put on an LP, right? You can put on an LP or a CD or listen to an MP3, put your headphones on, your Bang & Olufsen headphones, and hear that music in crystal clarity, like as clear as anything, right? To listen to that music. If you spend more money and travel down to Wembley and go and see that band live, you're not going to hear it as clear as that. It's not going to be as crystal clear, but it's an experience. It's everything else that goes with it that makes that you go, the visuals that we went and saw Coldplay at Wembley Stadium. And it was all the lights. Everyone had wristbands on that illuminated. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, we can all sit. So I think Heston, the food is the centerpiece, but it's about the experience too. There was one thing that he did, and this was the last thing I'll say about Heston. They said, they don't really tell you what the food is. They say, oh, this is Heston's take on the Mad Hatter something or other. And it was this sort of section within the meal, and there was like 16 courses for this meal. They're all small,
yeah.
But believe me, at the end of it, you're going, I'm done. I am at. They had this lovely thing, what he did with whiskies of the world. God, there's so much to talk about. Whiskies, it was this map of the world, and they bring it over to you. And you know the little cola bottles that you used to get as a kid?
Yeah.
It's like that. They're little gel cola bottle shapes, but they've got these beautiful whiskies from all over the world in them. So you'll take one of them and you'll put it in your mouth and it just melts and you get this little burst of whiskey and you go, oh my God, that was delicious. What one was that? And it is so much, it becomes fun. It's like, you're not just eating, you know, we go to KFC, we get the chicken, we shove it in our faces as quickly as we can. This was really theatrical and an experience. And this is why, if you do want to go to the Fat Duck, maybe not so much now after the pandemic, but it's like 3 months to get in there, because it's like it's so difficult to get in there. But we did it for Tessa's birthday, just so that people don't think we just do this. I don't want people to think, you know, I don't have any money. You know what I mean? I'm so not like that. It was Tessa's birthday, and we're both foodies, and we do these things like it'd be a big birthday, and we'll go right, manage to get us into the Fat Duck, you know. But the last one was, and this is the weirdest one, it was snails, right? Snails in garlic, right, with sugar puffs, right? That's why I mentioned the sugar puffs earlier on. With sugar puffs. Now, hold on. Everything in your fibre, in your body tells you that shouldn't work, right? But this is my point. There should be no rules, right? Try it, eat it. When I ate it, it was like sort of this garlicky with a slight sort of sweetness crunch. And it was, and I know I'm saying snails and that makes you go, oh, yeah, I can't do it, you know, but imagine you didn't know, right? They brought this bowl over. They said, this is that, this lovely little bowl presented beautifully. You smell it. Oh, that's so delicious. Took a couple of bites. I was going, oh my God, that is delicious. And it really was.
So with delicious, me, it is purely mind. It's mind over matter. It's not that I don't like the taste of things, because even like I remember a few years ago, I was out in Spain with my mum and we went out and we had a paella, and I was sitting there eating it, and it was nice. It was really nice. And Carlo, my mum's partner, said, "Oh, what did you think of the meat?" They told me it was pork. And I said, yeah, it's fine. And they said, it's rabbit. Now, straight away, that really put me off. If they would have told me that before I ate it, I wouldn't have ate
it. Yeah.
It's a mind thing. With me, it is a mind thing. It's like I've got this thing about having, when I see people cooking pasta and they put shellfish in it with the shell still on, I'm thinking, I don't want rubbish on my plate. Do you know what I mean?
No, You like it. Yeah, I get it. My mum did a similar thing with me when I was a kid. So I'm sitting there eating this dinner, and I said to my mum, she goes, what do you think of dinner? I said, it's really lovely. And I said, what is it? And she goes, it's the cat. And I was like, Mum, that's like, don't tell me I'm eating the cat. That's not nice. Just to clarify, that's a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't really eat my cat when I was a kid. I was a teenager.
Actually, saying that, me and you know, I used to DJ, and we got hired, or I got hired to DJ in Spain. This was, going on 20 odd years ago in some nightclub in Spain. So I took Jen over with me, and there was a few funny things that happened. Like, I was sharing the stage with another DJ who would be on before me, and at one point, he offered Jen some Coke, and she said, oh, not for me, thanks, I'm full, thinking he meant Coca-Cola. Obviously, we don't do drugs, right? So that was one funny thing. But the other funny thing, the people that owned the nightclub, the owner had his sort of manager, who was this lovely guy. I mean, he looked like someone out of the Village People. I mean, he had the big moustache, he had the leather waistcoat and everything. Really, really nice guy. And the guy who run the clubs owned some ball rings as well. And on the Sunday, he had ordered, it was my last day there, he had ordered these huge paellas. and took us to the middle of his ball ring. Like, obviously, it wasn't a bullfighting day or whatever. And we just sat there, the four of us, eating these paellas in the middle of this amazing ball ring. But at one point, his manager said, you know, do you like it? And I went, yeah. And he went, oh, it's cat. And cat. At which point, my face just dropped. And they,
what? Are you serious?
They're yeah, no, he cat. Said it, but it wasn't. He was winding
oh,
me up.
God,
but can
right.
you imagine? Can you imagine sitting there eating it? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he, obviously, he's Spanish, so he went, gata, gata. And I went, that sounds like cat in Italian. And I went,
meow.
What? Yeah. And then he sort of done that. And me and Jen just looked at each other. And it seemed like for ages, but it weren't. It was only a second or so before he went, no, I'm only joking sort of thing. But Jesus wow. Christ, when you got a mouthful of this stuff. But that's what I'm saying. It is like...
No, okay.
It is a mental thing. It's I went out to Holland a couple of years ago with my friend, and they took me to a really beautiful restaurant, really, really lovely. Lovely people that run it, friends of my friend. And but he said, oh, and this is the worst thing you can say when I'm having... And let's just get this in perspective. I'm not like someone that's really picky. I'm not. I'll go out, I'll eat almost anything, as long as it's not sort of out there. Do you know what I mean? As long
yeah.
as it's not like the weirdest
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and the worst thing you can say is the chef sort of went, oh, what is it you'd like? And they said, you just make us whatever you want. And straight away I'm thinking, oh, no, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Right. And then he went, how about sweetbread? And I know what sweetbread is. So straight away my mind's going, you ain't going to eat that.
What is sweetbread?
Well, I always thought, I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm far wrong. I always thought it was balls.
Balls?
Yeah. But it is.
The testicles.
Yeah. Right. But it is.
Sweetbread.
Yeah. But it,
right.
It's when I looked it up, it's not actually the testicles, but it is glands.
Right?
Right. Right. Nothing about that sounds appealing to me.
No, glands. Yeah, okay.
Right. So they went, oh, sweetbread. It's, oh my God, it's great. And I went, oh, I don't think I'm going to eat it. And they would just try it. And you know, you're at a restaurant. They're friends and they're saying it's amazing. I went, oh, okay, I'll try it. And they brought it over. And to be fair, they looked like little fritters covered in crispy breadcrumbs.
But that's what you've got to say to you in your mind. You've got to just say, these be the little croquettes. These little mini croquettes.
But the thing is, I ate it, and it was, well, no, I say I ate it. I had about two forkfuls, and I said, look, you know, I've got to apologise. I can't eat it. Now, half of that was because the taste was so strong. Now, I can imagine okay. some people will really like it, but to me, the taste was just, it was very, very strong. And I like strong tasting food, you know, I like loads of garlic and stuff like that. But I just couldn't eat it. But I do think the majority of the problem was my head.
Know.
Yeah, it was my head. If he would have put it down and went, oh, these are lovely fritters from so-and-so, I think I would have, maybe the taste would have still been too strong for me. I don't know. But I think because I'd already said to myself in my head, look, I know what this is and I ain't going to like it. I think that amplifies the fact that I took one taste and just went, no, it's not for me. Whereas if he just said, oh, it's this lovely minced fritter and this, that, and the other, and I would have started eating it, I would have went, oh, I'll have a bit more, see if I can get used to it sort of thing. Because sometimes it does take a few tastes, doesn't it, really, to get used to something. But I think because I knew, I didn't give it the chance to, one little taste and it was like... Yeah, no, that's not for me. But, I'm sounding like I don't eat anything and I'm one of these people that would just go out and have fish and chips. But I'm not. I do have...
No. I've been to your house on many occasions and you have had a fish finger.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you've really gone out. No, you've had, you know, I've been to your house a number of times and Peter does like his spices.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Likes a bit of spice on spice.
If I know what it is I'm eating, even Jenny, I remember this was about 10 years ago, and Jenny had made a curry, and we were eating the curry, and I said, oh, this is gorgeous, Jen. I said, the meat is so tender. She went, oh, yeah, they said you got to use lamb neck. And then that was it. Straight away, I'm like, neck? I can't eat no more. But it was amazing. It was tasty and everything else. It was just the thought of it being a neck. It's like you said it to me the other day, and I don't think we said it on the podcast, but you were talking about, you know, I'm the same as whoever it was you went out with the other day with the fish with the head.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm the same as that. You know, yeah. If they put a fish down in front of me that's got a head on it, I couldn't eat it. Cut the head off and stick it in batter. And it's great.
Then you're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, hide it. Hide it from me.
Yeah. But it is that. It is that. I can't, you know, I can't do it. I'm a little bit weird like that. And I'm not really squeamish about stuff.
No, I know. I think there are a lot of people that are like that. I think, you know, but I've just grown up, you know, just eat anything that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, and I should have done because, you know, my mum did. And yeah,
but then you know, then I, you know, like sort of Mark and Mel, who are sort of mutual friends of ours, they've got two daughters, both brought up in the same household, and little Eve will try and eat everything. She'll try it. What's that? That's interesting. I should go for it. Maya, total opposite. She needs everything kind of almost separated on the plate. I don't like the, you know, this with this or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And that's two children brought up the same way, same parents. You know, and just for whatever reason,
yeah,
it's just the way it is.
I mean, my kids eat anything. I mean, Holly's a vegetarian. She made that choice like when she was about seven, I think. But Harry will, you know, if he goes to France, he'll have snails. He'll always try everything.
Harry tries to eat all those big burgers, doesn't he?
And yeah, stuff. He'll just eat, like, you know, if there's anything on there, the stuff that would put me off having it, he will go, oh, I'll give it a go. And, you know, he'll enjoy it and everything else. And part of me thinks that I miss out big time, but I know it's a mental, it's a mental issue. It is something that, and I think a lot of people suffer it. It's when you sort of know what something is, your mind just sort of tells you, you ain't going to like it.
Because, so you wouldn't be good on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of
Here. Oh, no, 100%.
Oh, okay. 100%
not. I couldn't. Yeah, no, I don't think I could. If I knew it was. Yeah, see, I couldn't. I could.
And I'd probably get a buzz going, yeah. I need camel bum.
But, you know, but it's only what we've been taught, isn't it, I suppose? Yeah. It's only like, you know, when you look at what other cultures eat and you think I couldn't eat that, and then your other part of things, but think of what you do eat. Is it any better, really? It's just that we've been told it's okay.
Oh, totally.
You know, absolutely. To eat this and not that. But do you know what, we're over an hour. We didn't speak about,
are you serious?
Yeah, we didn't speak about, well, any conspiracy.
No, well, that's the conspiracy. That was my,
where was it?
Yeah, where was it? Were we ever going to, or did we just throw it in there to keep you hooked in, to manipulate your mind, maybe? No, we can catch up about that.
Yes.
The next one. That's a big episode. All right. Cool. All right. Well, listen. So when are we scheduled? This one is, when will people be listening to this one?
Well, they will be listening to this tomorrow, which is today if they're listening to it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. They'll be listening to it tomorrow because it's Monday today and it goes out on a Tuesday. So this will be live for them tomorrow. So whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a great Tuesday. And we will record another one for next week. And then hopefully, not next week's one, because I think that will be too soon, but maybe the week after we'll have Spiros on. But I've got a feeling that's going to be a two-episoder.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
Because if he goes into detail, and it is so interesting. He done a presentation at the Magic Circle, and I watched it, and I was absolutely hooked and fascinated. But I do think this is what we were going back to about liking art. And when you hear what he went through, this is the sort of stuff that I really appreciate. It's like looking at one of those great figures and everything else where you just think the amount of work
and the
clever thinking he went into to pull this thing off. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And it is one of the world's biggest hoaxes, isn't it?
Well, I believe so, yeah. It's global. It's absolutely global.
Yeah.
Cool.
Brilliant.
All right.
So,
well, listen, we'll catch up soon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Mark. And we will speak on the next podcast. Right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on Wizards Whiskey and Waffle. I hope you enjoyed it. We did sort of waffle on quite a bit there about food and various other bits and bobs, but we will be back and we will be talking about some conspiracy theories. Make sure you tune into the Spearross one because it is an amazing story. So anyway, till next time, I'm Pete Nardi, and this has been Wizards Whiskey and Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Wizards Whiskey and Waffle podcast with Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and subscribe. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.